أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to relate to us the incident and the story of Dhul Qarnayn. We spoke about Dhul Qarnayn. Who was Dhul Qarnayn? And majority of the ulama and scholars maintain the view that he was not a Nabi, but he was a righteous, pious king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed with enormous power. In fact, he was one of the kings who we said ruled the entire world from east to west. We spoke of the era in which he lived, and we spoke of the meaning of his name, Dhul Qarnayn, what it meant. Or not his name, but his title. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Dhul Qarnayn. قُلْ تَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Tell them that I shall now recite to you information and a narration regarding him. Now, this is the last incident from the four stories mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. So the one of the people of the cave taught us of the test of faith and the challenges that come along with faith. The second one taught us of the test of wealth. The man who possessed all those orchards and the garden and many other things of the material life, the test of wealth and the challenges that come along with that. The third incident between Musa alayhi salam and Khadr taught us of the test of knowledge. And this incident, with regards to Dhul Qarnayn, teaches us of power. The test of power, the challenges that come along with power, and how a person in power should exercise the power and the authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. Allah says about Dhul Qarnayn, إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. إِنَّا, Allah says, indeed we مَكَّنَّا لَهُ. مَكَّنَّا لَهُ, we have firmly established him on earth, in the land. We have given him and we gave him authority. مَكَّنَا means to give power over something, to give authority over something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we had given him authority and power over the entire earth. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a kingdom and made him a king so he could rule over the land. وَآتَيْنَا, and over and above that, one is we gave him the authority to rule, but Allah says along with that, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we provided him with a sabab. Sabab means a means. Means something to achieve an objective is a sabab. So a skill is a sabab. It allows you to reach a certain objective or to achieve an objective. Knowledge is a sabab. Wealth is a sabab. Time is a sabab. The ability to do something is a sabab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him a sabab for everything. We gave him a means to achieve everything. Meaning he was blessed with all the means available to him in terms of skill, in terms of knowledge, in terms of wealth, in terms of all the material things and power and whatever else he required in order to achieve whatever he wanted to achieve. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so he followed a way, he followed a means. In other words, he put those means into effect. And he used those means in order to achieve his objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of three journeys that Dhul Qarnayn had undertaken. The first journey, Allah saying, using those means, he had undertaken this journey to the far west, the furthest part in the west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ, until when he reached the place of the setting of the sun, Maghrib al-Shams. Maghrib literally means the place of setting. So Allah says he reached as far as he could in terms of the West. And he reached that spot or that place where the sun had set or where the sun would set. وَجَدَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that area for us. Now Mufassirin and scholars looking at this description, they have given a number of locations or a number of areas where this could have been, where he had reached. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ He found, when he got there, he found the sun setting in what Allah described as عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ Two words. He found the sun setting in عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ What's عَيْن? عَيْن means a spring of water. But عَيْن over here is not referring to a little small spring from which water is gushing out, but it could be referring to even an ocean. Because Allah says He found the sun setting in a spring. And what type of spring? Allah says, Hami'a. Hami'a means miry water, murky water, dark water. Hami'a, Ain Hami'a refers to water which has beneath it dark, black, murky mud. And that makes the water also seem dark and murky. That's Ainin Hami'a. Now looking at this description, as I said, a number of locations have been cited. So Allah said He found the sun setting in murky waters, miry waters. Now, it doesn't literally mean that the sun was setting in that water, but it means He reached a point, and from where He reached, right up to the horizon, all He could see was water. So that could have been an ocean. He could not see any land, and like every one of us, if you are standing at such a point, you are standing at the shore of the sea, and you witness the sunset, it seems as if the sun is setting in the water itself. So to the observer, it seems like it is setting in that water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He found the sun setting in those type of waters. What did He find over there? وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا Now remember, this was thousands and thousands of years ago, when these travels were undertaken by Dhulqarnain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He found near it qawman, a people. He came across a community. He came across a people. And we understand from what comes next is that they were a community, a people, a community of disbelievers. They were infidels. They were not believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qulna, so when he came there, and he met these people, he came across this community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said to Dhulqarnain on that occasion, Imma an tu'addib. Qulna, we said, Ya Dhulqarnain. Now, Ya Dhulqarnain, O Dhulqarnain, many scholars says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addressed him, which means he was a Nabi. Ya Dhulqarnain, directly addressing him, means he was a Nabi, he was a prophet. This is an indication that he received wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that again is not the popular view. As we said, majority maintain that he was not a Nabi of Allah. Then how do they explain this expression, Ya Dhulqarnain, O Dhulqarnain? They said one is perhaps through what we call divine inspiration, ilham. When Allah speaks of divine inspiration coming to the mother of Musa alayhi salam, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term wahi. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ And we sent wahi to the mother of Musa, but it does not refer to the wahi that was revealed to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. It could be that type of wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to over here. Or there might have been a Nabi with him. We spoke of Khadir alayhi salam. Khadir alayhi salam was the advisor of who? Of Dhulqarnain. And Khadir alayhi salam, as we explained earlier, was a Nabi. The popular view is that he was a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ya Dhulqarnain could have been uttered by the Nabi of that time, instructing Dhulqarnain. Imma an tu'adhib, you have two options with regards to these people and this community. Either you punish them for their infidelity and for their disbelief, wa imma an tattakhidha fihim husna, or you deal with them in a good way. You treat them in a good way. In other words, you first teach them about your deen, teach them about Islam, teach them about Allah, convey the message to them. That is teaching them, treating them, and dealing with them in a husnan, in a good manner. How does he go about fulfilling this instruction? He says, he opts obviously for the second option. First option, what I'll do is I will treat them well, in the sense that I will teach them about Islam, convey the message to them, and encourage them to give up infidelity and to submit to the will of Allah. But then he says, أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَا. After doing that, if there are those who still transgress, they fail to accept and they choose transgression and they choose to remain on the path of infidelity and disbelief, أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَا. As for the one who transgresses, فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ. That person we will punish him. We will subject him to punishment for choosing to remain on infidelity and disbelief. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And that person will then be returned to his Rabb, the transgressor. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. And then his Rabb will also punish him a severe punishment and a disliked punishment. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنْ. As for the one who brings iman, after we encourage him to come into the faith and to accept deen, so he says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنْ. As for the one who will bring iman, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And who will carry out acts of righteousness and piety, فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى. For him certainly shall be the best reward. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And we will convey to him from our matter that which there is ease in it. We will convey to him from our matter, Dhul-Qarnayn is saying, we will convey to that person, we will deliver to him from our matter, from the deen of ours, that which in which there is ill. May Allah grant us the understanding.